Across the economic spectrum, airlines, mass transit, rail, school buses, bike share, tourism, university and utilities, even Central Park horse carriage drivers. I'm John Samuelson, International President of the Transport Workers Union. If you want a strong voice at the workplace, if you want to improve your life, join us. We are the TWU, America's Fight Back Union.
Buddy, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
Hey, this is Shaka Khan, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
This is radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm thinking that it's about 5 a.m. and you're listening to All Unity My Ass Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
We're going to talk about a few topics here on this program. You can find out a little bit more about some of them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen, and at the top of that, it will say Latest Back of the Book Program Links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. This is our 184th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story of this past week in an entire couple of multiverses was... We are holding at the gigantic total of 123 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called now. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, August 14th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a website, and that CDC website seems to be saying that the death toll in America for the past week was 202, which is a jump from the previous week's total. And I don't know, some of the numbers look different at this point in time. I don't know what's going on there. Pickles of the North and I are not wearing our masks as much at this point. In fact, we went out this past week and didn't wear them at all. And we are waiting for the new booster vaccinations to come out in the fall, and we're going to immediately get those. We're planning on getting to a bunch of things. It's been a very busy week. Thing is, we want to get to some things, quite a number of things. And one thing we want to get to, can't wait, because it's an anniversary today. So we're not going to throw away what we wanted to do. We're going to do it. And we'll try to get to as much of the other stuff that we need to talk about that we can get to. No guarantees on covering everything that's happened this past week. Oh, gee whiz. So, this is the 55th anniversary of the Apollo 11 moon landing. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to play some historic audio first.
Yes. Here is an audio clip from NASA.gov of the Apollo 11 mission as the lunar module Eagle detaches from the spacecraft Columbia to make its way down to the lunar surface. The next voices you will hear are Michael Collins aboard the Columbia, Neil Armstrong and Edwin Buzz Aldrin aboard the Eagle, and Charlie Duke at Capcom at Mission Control in Houston, July 20th, 1969.
Roger, Eagle, sun god.
Roger, how does it look?
The Eagle has wings.
Roger.
Looking good.
Roger, Neil, we got a, if you give us crew and data, we got the loads for you.
We are now coming up on 30 seconds to acquisition of the command module. And we'll stand by for that event.
Columbia, Houston, over.
Houston, Columbia, reading you loud and clear, how may?
Watch, bye-bye, Mike. How did he go, over?
Listen, Dave, everything's going just swimmingly. Beautiful.
Great. We're standing by for Eagle.
Okay, he's coming along.
We copy out.
Eagle, how do you read?
Bye-bye, Eagle. We're standing by for your burn report, over.
Roger, the burn was on time. The residuals before nulling, -0.1, -0.4, -0.1, X and Z null to zero.
Eagle, Houston, we read you now. You're a go for PDI, over.
Roger, understand. Okay. Python. One. Zero. Mission 10%.
That's 20 seconds. Everything looking good. We show altitude about 47,000 feet. Good radar data. Altitude now 33,500 feet. We're still go. Altitude 27,000 feet.
Same alarm, and it appears to come up when we have a 1668 up.
Roger. Copy. Eagle, Houston, we'll monitor
that's
your Delta 8.
Beautifully.
Delta 8
looks look good now.
Roger, Delta 8 is looking good to us.
Throttle on time.
Roger, copy, throttle down.
Set him in the simulator.
Roger.
Eggs and things look real close.
Altitude altitude now 21,000 feet, still looking very good. Velocity down now to 1,200 feet per second.
You're looking great to us, Eagle.
Okay, I'm still on flu, so we may tend to lose as we gradually pitch over. Let me try auto again now, see what happens.
Roger.
Okay, looks like it's holding.
Roger, we got good data. We're go, same type, we're go.
2,000 feet, into the ag, 47 degrees.
Roger.
47 degrees.
Eagle looking great, your go.
Altitude 1,600. 1,400 feet, still looking very good.
Roger, 1202, we copy it.
35 degrees. 35 degrees, 750, coming down to 23. 700 feet, 21 down, 33 degrees. 100 feet down at 19. 540 feet down at 30, down at 15. 400 feet down at 9. Escape forward. 1050 feet down at 4. 30, strip and a half down. 8 on horizontal velocity. 300 feet down 3.5. 47 forward. Hold up. On 1.5 down. 70. 8. That's a shadow out there. 50 down at 2.5. 19 forward. Altitude, velocity, light, 3.5 down, 220 feet, 13 forward, 11 forward, coming down nicely, 200 feet, 4.5 down, 5.5 down, 160, 6.5 down, 5.5 down, 9 forward, good, 120 feet. 100 feet, 3.5 down, 9 forward, 5%. 185. Okay, 75 feet, that's looking good, down a half. 6 forward.
60 seconds.
Lights on. 6. Down 2.5. Forward. Forward. 40 feet down, 2.5, picking up some dust. 30 feet, 2.5 down, fake shadow. 4 forward, drift into the right a little. 20, down a half.
30 seconds.
Forward, just good. Okay. 30. Contact light. Okay, engine stop. ACA at a descent. Mode control both auto, descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. 413 is in.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Listen, Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
This is a big deal historic thing that we really pay attention to. And we did a whole segment about the 50th anniversary of the first moon landing. And I think it said what we wanted to say. So on this, the 55th anniversary of the first moon landing, we're going to air some of that segment again. We're going to talk about the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11. And I don't know that much about it because I was away. Again, remember when I said I was 8,880 miles away from the Stonewall? Well, I was that far away from the Stonewall for the Apollo 11 event, all of it. I was at the Honai Railhead in the Republic of Vietnam, and it was, you know, no fun whatsoever. And I found out about it because I was at lunch. It was lunchtime at the Railhead, and so I turned on my little radio, and I was going to eat my turkey loaf sandwich, something I would never touch today. A turkey loaf sandwich and some kind of a soda, and that was lunch. I went and turned on the radio, and they're talking about this thing, and after a couple of minutes, I realized, oh, they're talking about people landed on the moon? I didn't know that. And it was about 2 hours after the big event when they actually set foot on the moon. It was bright sunlight. It was, you know, I'm there around noon looking at it. It was about, I guess, 10 in the morning or something like that. It was sometime in a bright day over in the Republic of Vietnam. And I said, wowee. The people around me didn't know it was happening either. And when they found out, they couldn't care less because these were people who referred to magazines as books. And if you read a book, they didn't like you. And I read a lot of books. So anyway, that was my story. Pickles of the North has other stories, and she's going to tell us about her personal stuff with the Apollo 11 experience and tell us a little bit about the program, too.
Well, and it's not just Apollo 11. That year, people went to the moon three times. In May, they did the whole, like, a test run, did everything, separated the lander from the main ship and everything, did all but land. Then in July, landed. And then in November, went back and did the second lunar landing. So this is so amazing. I mean, I was 12 years old when all of this happened. In my family, we just followed the whole U.S. space program. I mean, because this really captures the imagination of a kid. And I think it had captured the imagination of kids all around the world. And you had a lot of people who ended up in many different countries going into sciences. And some of them even worked on space programs. Some of them worked on space programs in their own countries. I mean, it was very inspiring, you know, and some people say the same thing today that they said back then. I remember people saying this, oh, you shouldn't be spending money on this, blah, blah. You should be spending it on other programs and, you know, people. Yes, it's very important to take care of people. People need to have good jobs. They need to have access to good food. But the space program is such a tiny, its budget is so small in the vast budget for the whole United States that, no, don't take money away from that. It's amazing, and so much comes out of it technologically, and also it's just very inspiring. I'd like to just read a little bit from, and the other thing is, we thought for sure they would keep on going, and by the time we were adults, you know, through the 50 years, people would be living on the moon. And that was entirely a possible thing. But the will disappeared for that. And it's unfortunate. I want to read you just a couple of little excerpts from A Man on the Moon. And it's by Andrew Chaikin, Penguin Books. Was published originally in 1994. They ended up basing From the Earth to the Moon, which was a TV series, on this book. It's pretty much basically about the Apollo program. Across the distance of a quarter century, he wrote this. Of course, now it's half century. Apollo is an anomaly. There was a rare confluence of historical forces in 1961. A perceived threat to national prestige from the Soviet Union was met by a dynamic leader, John Kennedy, and economic prosperity allowed him to launch a massive effort to demonstrate America's capabilities. The moon was the ideal target, close enough to reach, audacious enough to capture the imagination. And this is here, I'm just going to read you a little bit from the ending of that book. Project Apollo remains the last great act this country has undertaken out of a sense of optimism, of looking forward to the future. That it came to fruition amid the upheaval of the 60s, alongside the carnage of the Vietnam War, only heightens the sense of irony and nostalgia looking back 25 years later, now 50 years later. By the time Apollo 11 landed, we were already a changed people. By the time of Apollo 17, we were irrevocably different from the nation we had been in 1961. It is the sense of purpose we felt then that seems as distant now as the moon itself. If NASA had lost direction, it is only because we had not chosen to give it one. Instead of letting the moon be the gateway to our future, we have let it become a brief chapter in our history. The irony is that in turning away from space exploration, whose progress is intimately linked to the future of mankind, we rob ourselves of the long-term vision we desperately need. Any society, if it is to flourish instead of merely survive, must strive to transcend its own limits. It is still, as Kennedy said, exploration by virtue of difficulty causes us to focus our abilities and make them better. And that is so, so true. And the difference in the 25 years since this book was written, and now we're here, we are at the 50th anniversary in a few days.
Again, today is the 55th anniversary of the moon landing. This is a re-airing of a part of a program we did 5 years ago.
Is that people are looking out towards human exploration again. They're looking at the moon. They're looking at the asteroids. They're looking at Mars. And people are actively, there's a lot of private companies that are creating rockets that have been very successful so far, certainly in bringing supplies up to the space station. And there possibly will be the gateway, the Lunar Gateway Project, which will be a space station that is in orbit around the moon, which will allow astronauts to go down from that station to the lunar surface and conduct experiments. We know there's lots of water on the moon, which makes it, you know, that we can do things with that water, you know. So, I don't know, with all the things that are happening, especially right now in the world, the epicenter of chaos that has become Washington, that is Washington, D.C., this makes me feel hopeful, more hopeful than I was 25 years ago when this book came out, that we will be able to do this. And many nations, I think, will come together as they have to work on the space station, the International Space Station. I think there will be an international effort to explore our solar system. And one of the ways we can do that is going back to the moon. I mean, if you could get there with technology that is less sophisticated than what's inside a cell phone, and not a cell phone from today, a cell phone from like maybe 20 years ago or something, we can do this. I mean, and there are people who want to do this. I mean, and we are explorers, so it makes me feel hopeful.
We do have technology that is vastly superior to what anybody had then. I mean, the computers they had then, the best ones, were nothing like what most people are wandering around with in their pockets these days. Not me, because I don't have one of those things. But most people have some kind of a smartphone.
And I must say, as a child, the feeling of exhilaration knowing that human beings were on the moon, had traveled, you know, 3 days, only 3 days away, as one of the astronauts said, that was really something. We were jumping up and down. We were running out onto our front gallery and looking up and saying, there are people on the moon.
And you were looking at the moon.
And we were looking at the moon. And my father was there taking pictures with the Brownie camera, which we still have on the TV. So I think this is a really special anniversary, but even more so because we are looking towards human exploration. I mean, sending out our robots, very important. That exploration is extremely important too, but we need to go. We're explorers. We would have just stayed at Pinnacle Point if we weren't. But we didn't do that.
Actually, we would never have gotten to Pinnacle
Point.
We
wouldn't have got to Pinnacle Point. So, anyway, so this is a hopeful thing. I think, like I said, amidst all the chaos, much more chaos and cruelty than needs to be in the world right now, this is a hopeful anniversary.
And there's competition. China wants to do it. India wants to do it. Japan's doing stuff. Hey, you know, when you get some competition going, you say, uh-oh, the other guys are going to do this. I better do this. So that may help to spur these things to actually happen. And these days, we have things that are so much worse to talk about. In other sort of space news, we had a bolide explode over New York City this past week. A bolide is a meteor that goes into the atmosphere and it explodes at some point. And that's what happened. I didn't even notice it. They say it exploded about 27 miles up. And, yeah, it's an interesting idea. Saying it was over New York City, okay, sure, fine. You know, 27 miles up, sure, all right. In some astronomical news, I guess, or seasonal news, or sub-seasonal news, midsummer approaches tomorrow, Sunday, July 21st, 2024, at 17 minutes after midnight, we will enter midsummer. Early summer has been quite something, hasn't it? But, yep, we're going to be entering midsummer, and, oh boy, see, it's an astronomical midsummer. Shakespeare was writing about midsummer as farmers call it, because the farmers, you know, they knew that, okay, you have this spring equinox, this vernal equinox, and then you have an autumnal equinox. Right in between those two things, you have the summer solstice. And they considered summer solstice to be midsummer. So that's why you get a Midsummer's Night's Dream, which is right next to the solstice, instead of midsummer, which is really in early August. Oh, well, there we go. So anyway, yes, midsummer begins tomorrow at 17 minutes after midnight. And on Friday, a whole lot of things went to hell in a Redmond handbasket. Redmond is where Microsoft is headquartered. And so, what happened was, in the world of large computing stuff, you have the attackers. You always hear about, oh, and this place had this attack happen, and recently you heard about, where was it, one of the big phone companies getting zapped, and attackers stole all the information about who called whom and when. That might be useful in some way. Might not be useful commercially, but maybe some nation state could find that useful in some way and, you know, might be worth it to them to have paid a couple of million dollars to some criminals. Who knows? But anyway, all these things happen. So if you're going to have any kind of IT, that is information technology stuff going on, you've got to defend it. And you've got to keep up with what the attacks are, because you've got these guys who are motivated to do attacks on computer systems, and they go after your servers, they steal your information, in some cases they destroy the information, in some cases they're trying to shut down your electrical grid. A lot of people have been trying that a lot lately, and various types of bad things have been happening. So what you need to do is you hire people to come up with stuff to fight against that. And there's this constant battle going on back and forth with these people. And so you have to update your systems and all of that. Well, Microsoft uses a service called CrowdStrike. And CrowdStrike uploaded an update, and it screwed things up badly. If you were using, or if somebody was using, Microsoft 365 apps and services, you got hurt. And, oh, boy, you know, Microsoft wants to bundle everything. And from what I'm told, they recently made it so that you couldn't have a local control on your account. Like if you have Windows 10 or something and you want to log in locally, they removed information about how to do that from the Microsoft website recently. There was a furor, and they put it back. But the basic deal is they want you to get a Microsoft account. That way, they monitor everything you do. And they monitor it, supposedly, so that they can sell you stuff specifically. This is what they do. This is not a secret. This is what Microsoft does, evil empire. And so they are making it absolutely mandatory. And I'm told that in Windows 11, you absolutely have to do a Microsoft account, which essentially they control, and there's no way around it. I don't know what I'm going to do when they're forcing us onto Windows 11. Windows 10 is bad enough. I mean, one of the things that happens with Windows 10 is they do a surreptitious update, and then all of a sudden, when we're trying to upload the radio program, we suddenly see that, oh, this is supposed to take an extra 3 hours. So we have to go in and kill a few processes, and then we can upload the program in about 15 minutes. We've had problems with this, and the first time it happened, it was a real panic around here, let me tell you. In any event, aircraft, banks, in some places, traffic lights, a lot of companies and cities and everything, they use Microsoft 365. I won't have anything to do with it personally, but a lot of people just go for it, and they go with Microsoft because Microsoft says, oh, we'll take care of everything. And so they go with them. Well, it didn't work out too well this time because CrowdStrike uploaded their update, and there was a flaw in it. And oh my, oh my. I don't know why the flaw was there. I don't know. I wonder if maybe one of the enemy hackers, one of their enemies who are hackers, managed to install something in their update. That would be interesting. Actually, I think it would be better for the hackers if they installed something nobody noticed in the update. Then they could sneak in. No problem. I don't know what's going on there. However, the CEO of CrowdStrike, George Kurtz, said in a statement on X, quote, CrowdStrike is actively working with customers impacted by a defect found in a single content update for Windows hosts. Mac and Linux hosts are not impacted, unquote. And then he went on to say, quote, the issue has been identified, isolated, and a fix has been deployed, unquote. So maybe the deal is that by now, by the time we're recording this, they have fixed this, but I don't know. A lot of people, for the first time in their lives, I think, got the BSOD. That's B-S-O-D, the blue screen of death, which is something you get from Microsoft when things go bad. So Microsoft is also acknowledging the outage. That's very nice of them. Half the world is, you know, collapsing there. Airlines can't work at all. People are stranded around the world. Banks aren't working. Stock exchanges aren't working.
Some people have to reschedule their surgeries.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Oh, boy. Luckily, I didn't have a surgery this week. Anyway, so Microsoft is acknowledging the outage, and they told users on Friday, quote, the underlying cause has been fixed. However, residual impact is continuing to affect some Microsoft 365 apps and services, unquote. Yeah, I bet it still is. I think the Microsoft 365 apps and services are themselves a problem. And they also added, quote, "We're conducting additional mitigations to provide relief," unquote. What a mess. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So politics has been big this week. And I've said before, I think that Biden needs to not drop out. I still think that. However, there is so much pressure on him from the chicken-hearted Democrats to drop out that it looks like he's going to either drop out or get someone else nominated at the national convention in August. So we'll have, I guess the Democrats will have the old-fashioned kind of convention where you actually work it out on the floor who the hell you're going to pick. So, oh boy. That could get messy. This whole thing is such a mess. We need to make sure that Trump doesn't get in there again, because how horrible that's going to be. You may have heard some talk about something called Plan 2025 and something called Agenda 47. And Project 2025 is a document. It's over 900 pages long. And basically, it's put together over a couple of years by the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing think tank. And I'm told that around 200 people contributed to this Plan 2025. And most of them were either in the Trump administration or were somehow connected to it. And they said, boy, we messed that one up, didn't we? Okay, next chance we get, we got to hit the ground running instead of having this idiot, because they all know Trump is an idiot, that without having this idiot fool around for a year or more and just goof about, instead of that, we need to start doing policy stuff our way right away. And so they have worked on this, and the result is Project 2025, a very big document. And it's full of awful stuff about reproductive rights and how they're going to stop that, and anything LGBT plus infinity they want to wreck, and all sorts of very, very bad things. And I'll put a link to the Wikipedia page about it on the webpage for this program. I suggest reading about it in the Wikipedia, because you don't want to read the 900 pages. Plus, if you really want to, the Wikipedia page at the bottom has a link to it if you're that hot about it. In any event, there is this Agenda 47 thing, and this is the official Trump plan. Now, you'd say, why does he not want to just endorse Project 2025? It's about him. The reason is because people realize that if he starts endorsing this, some of his idiot voters will, some of those MAGAites, will find out what's in Project 2025, and even they are going to say, holy hell. And plus, people who are not committed to Trump are going to look at that and say, we can't have this. They will finally realize we can't have Trump again. He will destroy the United States of America, maybe the world. And so they don't want him, they don't want Trump attached to Project 2025 until after he gets elected. So Agenda 47 is a kind of watered down version of Project 2025, but it's a Potemkin village. It's something that's being put up to say, this is what we really mean. Pay no attention to that horrible dumpster fire over there. That's Project 2025. Pay attention to Agenda 47. That's what we want to do. See, we're kinder and gentler, really. No, it's not. It's terrible also, but it's not quite as terrible as Project 2025. Agenda 47 plans to fool the stupid people into thinking that Trump doesn't want to really do Plan 2025. By the way, on page 246 of the Project 2025 document, the Pacifica Foundation is mentioned as something they want to target. You're listening to WBAI New York right now, and this radio station is a part of the Pacifica Foundation. We are targeted by name in Project 2025. If Trump gets elected, there's a good chance that you wouldn't be hearing us or anyone else currently on WBAI or anything like WBAI on the air anymore. This is going to be bad news, people. So Donnie Bonespur Trump got shot slightly last Saturday evening. A 20-year-old registered Republican did it. From what they say, he might just as easily have tried to shoot Biden because he was looking up both Trump and Biden and where they were going to be, where their rallies and speeches were. So he might have gone after Biden if it was convenient, but Trump's rally was in this guy's backyard, essentially. So he knew the entire place. He knew how to get up onto that roof. Who knows? He may have gone up there in the past. We don't know. So that's why he went after Trump. Of course, you know, Trump knew he was not seriously hurt when that bullet went whizzing by. Now, he could have been. And yeah, I think that if he had been facing the crowd instead of turning to his right, that bullet would have impacted the very back of his skull, and that would have been a really bad injury for him. Could it have killed him? Possibly. I don't know that it would have because of the way these things work. It would have just, you know, nicked the back of his skull. But there we go. In any event, when he got pushed down, he knew he was not seriously hurt. And he would have heard the Secret Service radios squawking about having killed the shooter. So he knew he wasn't seriously hurt. And when they got him up, he started immediately posing. You see what he does? Immediately, oh, I got my fist in the air. See that? Look at me. Fight. Yeah, oh, I got my fist in the air. You know, I'm a big tough guy. He's acting out his Mussolini fantasies. And he does all that posing for everything. Yeah, malignant narcissist. That's what he is, and that's how he behaves. And now, big bandages are the new Republican fashion accessory. Because, oh boy, he has that big bandage on his right ear. Apparently, it's not at all necessary. His right ear got grazed by the bullet. If the bullet had substantially hit something, there wouldn't be that part of a right ear at all. So it just grazed right over the top of that ear. But since it's a 5.56 or a 223 round, it's going very fast. When you see the picture that Doug Mills of the New York Times did, you can see the streak that is the bullet. You measure that and you figure, I'm not sure, but I guess Doug Mills had his camera set at 1/1000th of a second. That's what you do because you get crisp shots of whatever you're shooting. Shooting in a different sense. And you can look at that streak. And the streak is like a foot and a half or 2 feet long. The bullet is teeny. The bullet is just like, what is that, like half an inch or something maybe? So that streak is the amount of space that the bullet covered in 1/1000th of a second. And that's typical. And so it whizzed past him. He would have heard what a bullet sounds like whizzing past your head. I know what that sounds like too. but they missed me completely. In any event, so that shows you that it was traveling at no less than 1,500 feet per second, maybe as much as 2,000 feet per second. And if that hit his skull, the bullet itself would have started disintegrating instantly, and it would have probably sent pieces of skull into his brain. So that would have been very bad for him. But it didn't do that. It hit his ear. It grazed the top of his ear. And, oh, boy. So he's making a big deal of this, showing up with this bandage. There are people saying that he went golfing without anything on his right ear after that. No need while you're golfing to have it there. At the convention, however, he was wearing such a big bandage. And then, I'm told, other attendees, the other Republicans, started wearing their own bandages on their right ears. Gee whiz, I guess it's too bad the Republicans lifted the ban on such assault rifles as the AR-15 clones years ago and made it so that the people who manufacture them can still make them and that the gun lobby gets to make money off it and sell them. Jesus Christ. Yeah, no mention of that. You know, oh God, the Republicans, what hypocrites. Now, their convention went on predictably with lie after lie. I have to say, I am very concerned for all of America at this point because Trump has momentum and, oh boy, who knows what's going to happen here. If he gets elected, America is in deep trouble. So is the world. We're running out of time, so all I'll say is, yeah, Judge Cannon dismissed the documents case against Trump. Wow. She's been doing stuff for him through this entire trial, and now she says, oh, I'm just dismissing all of it, even though other courts have said, oh, no, the special counsel is legal. She says, oh, no, it's illegal. It's unconstitutional. I don't know. Where's this going to go? I know that the prosecutors will appeal. It's probably going to hit the Supreme Court. What will they do? They are no good either. The six right-wing ones are no good. Who knows what will happen? Meanwhile, Elon Musk, whom I refer to as Leon Scum, is giving $45 million a month to Trump's Political Action Committee for the next 4 months. So he's giving $180 million to Trump to try and get him elected again. And he's also said he's pulling everything he does out of California and moving it to Texas for political reasons. Wow. This is one of the reasons why you're supposed to not have people with a lot of money being able to do this. But the Supreme Court struck down the limits on donations so this guy can do these things. And all of these other things that are just coalescing into making it so that the United States of America is inching towards a fascist oligarchy here. It's going to make Russia look tame.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Yes, the pitching hobos are here. And we are they. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored non-commercial radio, for as long as we survive anyway. And so we need to raise money to pay our bills. The way we do it is we ask you to donate. And what we're asking you to do is go up to WBAI.org, and when you get there, you will see, underneath some other things, you will see a black dove on a green background. And the text around that dove will say, BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. BAI Buddy is a name we have for sustaining membership here at WBAI, which means that you donate once a month to WBAI. You have a monthly donation you do. Now, we're asking you to become a BAI Buddy, because that way you'll be helping us to pay our bills. You will also give BAI management whatever that's going to be in the near future, a chance to have an idea of how much money is coming in. Because the BAI Buddy idea manages to make it so that you can count on a certain amount of money coming in every month. So we're asking you to go to WBAI.org, find the green background with a black dove on it, and the text that says BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. Click on that, and you'll be brought to another web page where you can become a BAI Buddy, which is a monthly sustaining member. What happens then is you have to, on this form you'll fill out, you'll have to give your name, you'll give your credit card or debit card number, you'll give other information, and you will say how much you want to donate. Now, you can donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month or more if you please, and you will end up getting your debit card or credit card charged each and every month that way. And you will also, I think you could still up on there, say what day of the month you want to be charged. So this will allow you to have your charge happening at a convenient time. And what will happen then is you will be able to keep BAI going. Now, you do all that financial stuff, but you must, please, you must remember to click on select your favorite show as on one of those lists there. And then choose back of the book from the drop-down list. This program is called Back of the Book. Management is watching who raises money. We can't afford the Arbitron ratings or the Nielsen ratings now anymore. I'm showing how long I've been doing this. Used to be Arbitrons, now it's Nielsen's. Anyway, we can't afford those, so they go by how much money you can raise. They can tell when somebody either calls in a pledge. We're not taking the calls right now. Yeah, we couldn't pay the call center, so they dropped us, and there are problems with dealing with getting it done as on a phone call. So we have to do it over WBAI.org. And management sees who, you know, what programs are raising money. And if we don't raise money, we're probably going to get axed. And if enough people don't raise money, the whole station's liable to get axed. And, of course, if Trump gets elected, the entire Pacifica network will probably get axed. But that's a different thing. Right now, we're trying to make it so that you will help BAI survive. Again, go to WBAI.org. Click on the black dove with the green background and the text that says BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. Fill out the forms, but especially make sure when you click on select your favorite show that you choose back of the book from the drop down list. Yeah, it's unfortunate that it's named favorite show. This may not be your favorite show, but you might want to donate to it to keep it on the air. It doesn't matter that it says that. That's just a thing there that they put on, and they say, oh, yeah, we'll change that. Will they ever change that? I don't know if they will. But the deal is they have to have some sort of a label, so somebody put up your favorite show, and that's what they put there. And we're stuck with it. So we need you to call that number. We seriously need you to call that number now. Don't call the number. Go to WBAI.org. You know, I've been doing this for 42 years, more than 42 years, and it's always been a phone number, and it's just driving me out of my goddamn mind here to try to remember that we don't have a phone number anymore. WBAI.org. Go to WBAI.org. Go to where it says BAI Buddy, become a sustaining member. Click on that. Answer the questions, and then when it gets to select your favorite show, choose back of the book from the drop-down menu. Please do that. All right. That's what we're asking everybody to do. If you do that, we'll thank you. Oh, I hope you do that. That's been it for Back of the Book. We're scheduled to be on again next week, which will be in midsummer. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, again, with Mr. David Kenny.
David Kenny again. So, we're scheduled to be on here next week. We hope we are. The weather is relenting a bit. It's not going to be as hot and humid, we hear. So enjoy it. Enjoy the midsummer time. And above all, remember what that seriously dreading the real Project 2025 that Trump wants, Dormouse said.
I'm Harriet Cole, host of Dreamweavers. I hope you've been checking out my show. I bring some amazing guests on who have new books, new projects, new music. Something to remind us how great life is and how they are pursuing their dreams, and you too should pursue your own. We have a new time, Saturdays at 11 a.m. Starting in June, every Saturday morning at 11 a.m., you can tune into Dreamweavers. I promise you, there will be a creative, a dynamic, amazing person who will talk to us about how he or she is pursuing their dreams and how you can too. So please join us here on WBAI. And also, please become my BAI buddy. I need some buddies. Won't you be mine? Call us at 212-209-2950 and become my buddy now. And tune in on Saturdays at 11 a.m. to Dream Leapers with Harriet Cole.
The next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will be on Sunday, July 21st at 1 p.m. It is a call-in meeting hosted by Maestro. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. All are welcome. The WBAI Community Advisory Board is the only board expressly created to give voice to the WBAI listeners. We need your participation, your suggestions, and your financial support for listener-sponsored radio. Again, the next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting is on Sunday, July 21st at 1 p.m. The call-in number is 619-309-1058. The PIN number is 641-711. Only with your support, long live WBAI, and thank you.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
To strengthen your favorite station, donate online at givetowbai.org. That's givetowbai.org. Or send your check or money order made out to WBAI-Pacifica to WBAI 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's WBAI-Pacifica. Send to WBAI 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217.